Hello, and welcome to Your Holistic Health on WRRS, Radio Reading Services in Cincinnati. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, Holistic Clinical Pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions, and your host for today's program. We're so glad that you could join us. Your Holistic Health brings you the latest in practical health information and health tips that help you stay safe, give you support, and bring you a message of hope. Today's guest is Dr. Maria Colon Gonzalez, a physician from Texas, who will be talking with me about the health benefits of yoga because September is National Yoga Awareness Month. But first, in the news, vitamins, and today's choice is folate. A new study published in Frontiers in Neuroscience found folate is directly linked to the prevention of Alzheimer's disease, a type of dementia. Folate is a B vitamin found in food. It's needed to make DNA and other genetic material and is key for helping cells divide. Folic acid, on the other hand, is the synthetic version found in dietary supplements and fortified foods. Both of these vitamins are converted to their active form in the digestive system before entering the bloodstream. Foods rich in folate include edamame, lentils, asparagus, spinach, and black beans. Try adding more of these food items to a salad or a soup to help build your memory. Coupled with exercising your brain every day, you can help ward off your risk of developing dementia or Alzheimer's disease. Our first health tip today is about building muscle mass in adults 60 years of age or older. We need to do that. Exercising becomes even more important the older we get. We want to minimize a condition called sarcopenia. What is that? It's the gradual loss of muscle over time, and it can be seen in both men and women. In addition to proper exercise, eating enough protein is important for lots of healing, including maintaining and building muscle mass, repairing tissue, supporting immune health for wound healing, and collagen formation for bone strength. Adequate protein intake is a heavy lifter toward our physical health. There's a formula for it. In general, the recommended daily protein allowance is 0.36 grams multiplied by pounds of your body weight. So an example, a 130-pound person needs 47 grams of protein per day in divided portions. Protein is found in Greek yogurt, soy, salmon, dark turkey meat, and kidney beans. The tip? Talk with your doctor and a registered dietitian or fitness nutrition coach. Establish a proper diet with adequate protein intake. Then add exercises like weightlifting and other routines that are right for your body type and health needs. Working with a professional trainer to create a personalized plan, including portion control, is also helpful. Here's some interesting information about kiwi. Kiwi fruit might be a good laxative for people with chronic constipation. This fruit is native to eastern China and is a popular digestive aid in Asia. It contains lots of healthy fiber and actinidin, an enzyme that digests proteins. Kiwi is also rich in antioxidants. In June of 2021, a study published in the American Journal of Gastroenterology found that eating kiwi improved symptoms in people with chronic constipation. Participants were randomized to kiwi, prunes, or psyllium, a soluble fiber, for 4 weeks. All three treatment groups produced an increase in weekly bowel movements, but the kiwi group also had a decrease in bloating. The tip? Eat more kiwi. You can put it in smoothies, salads, or juices. Instead of reaching for over-the-counter dietary supplements or laxatives first to manage constipation. Now let's talk about passion. What is passion? Well, it's combining your natural talents with God-given spiritual gifts. Natural talents are discovered and developed in the formative years and throughout life, and they take practice. Talent examples include sports, art, and music. The same is true regarding our spiritual gifts. They too take practice. Taking a spiritual gifts inventory helps build whole person health. Gifts can include such things as leadership, teaching, service, mercy, giving, and hospitality. Acting on these gifts connect us to our higher power and to joy. The final health tip for today, take a spiritual gifts inventory sometime to figure out your true passions. Be open to finding joy in addition to refining your awesome natural talents along your life journey. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Maria Colon Gonzalez is a board-certified physician in family medicine and a diplomate of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. She believes in empowering patients to restore their health and wellness with a comprehensive and holistic approach, my kind of professional. Maria uses modalities like aromatherapy, mindfulness, plant-based nutrition, culinary medicine, and yoga. Welcome, Dr. Colon Gonzalez, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy, for the invitation, and it's an honor.
So yoga is a part of the Hindu religion. It's a philosophy, and it's a series of traditional postures all wrapped in one. It's actually a medical system that was directly taken from a religious practice, has been secularized, and now reintroduced to the public as pretty much a mainstream health and fitness tool. How did you get started in this practice after medical school, and why is it so important for you now with your patients?
So I started this practice when I was still an adolescent. I was suffering from back pain. I was being treated by my family doctor, physical therapy. I was still not getting better. They recommended surgery, but my parents didn't feel completely inclined to the surgery. So I started doing yoga for back pain specifically, and I discovered the health benefits that it had for me. So the more I practice it and the more I study it, I decided that, you know, my patients also needed to know about this. And that's when I incorporated it into my practice.
I love the fact that you have taken the step to recommend yoga for your patients. Do you think many of your peers would do the same?
So I know that there are colleagues that recommend yoga specifically for chronic pain and mental well-being, managing things like stress, depression, and anxiety.
Good to hear once again. So yoga is composed of deep breathing methods, and deep breathing has become very popular with meditation and in a lot of different health practices, not just yoga. There are meditation poses in yoga. They're named after mammals or fish or reptiles, which makes yoga interesting and fun. How important is proper breathing to completing each of the poses in yoga?
Yes, sometimes I like to tell people and my patients that concentrating on just breathing is more important than striving for that perfect breath. And that is because breath is essential, not only in yoga, but in many of the other things that we do in our lives. It activates the relaxation response in our bodies. And it also allows us to be more present in the moment, release pain and tension as we do the yoga poses and go deeper into our stretches.
It sounds very complex in a way, but so simple in others. And yet there are so many different types of yoga. I wonder how the average person would choose one over the other. I'm aware of Hatha, laughter yoga, which is extremely intriguing to me. This goat yoga, who knew where that came from? And something called yoga nidra. Why would someone choose one type of yoga over the other?
Yes, this is a very important question. I believe that it starts by knowing your body, your personality, and in a way, your fitness level. Some yoga classes like nidra will focus more on that relaxation response in your body, and it includes meditation. On the other side, something like Vinyasa or power flow will involve more movement from one pose to the other. While laughter yoga or voluntary laughter will have the same positive effects in your mental health as spontaneous laughter. Sometimes it is good to combine different types of practices and classes, and this allows to combine the different benefits that they will have in your body. I also always recommend that you speak with the instructor. Let them know that you're new to the practice, if you have any medical condition, any body injuries, and what you're looking for in a class, because the instructor might point you into a different direction.
That's really important, and I'll just give a personal experience testimony. I guess mistakenly ended up in a hot yoga class one time because I was seeking out a particular instructor, and ended up not being able to breathe because it was just overwhelmingly humid for me and I had to leave. My bad. I didn't do the research, didn't talk to the instructor, as you say, didn't really understand what I was getting myself into and make a good fit between the class, the instructor, and the student. That was a wonderful learning experience, but it was something I don't want to repeat. Important that our listeners hear that, I think. So yoga indicated for any age, I guess, with certain restrictions when necessary. What kind of research is out there to say yoga really does have health benefits?
Yeah, so there is, a lot of research that has demonstrated that it improves your quality of life. Yoga can also help reduce stress, anxiety, improve symptoms of depression. For many people, it also improves the quality of their sleep, especially if you do a more gentle practice closer to nighttime. It will increase your flexibility and balance, which in turn will improve your posture and will reduce the risk of you having falls. And this is very important in our older population. It will increase your breathing capacity. And this is important, for everybody and especially for athletes, independent of the sport that you practice. It will increase strength, endurance. And one of my favorites is just that it will help you be more attuned to your bodies. And, I think that in this side of the world and Western cultures, we live very separated and very divorced from our bodies.
I agree. Can a blind or visually impaired person do yoga?
The short answer is yes. A person with a visual impairment will need to have good verbal instructions. So it will be very important to pair with a proper instructor that has that talent, that voice talent, and also speak with them and discuss, how you feel about body adjustments.
So how would we, any of us, prepare for a yoga class? And are there any safety concerns that you'd like to share with us today?
Yes. So, the most important thing to avoid injuries with any type of physical activity is to start slow, listen to your body, right? We really do not have to endure pain. Pain is actually a signal that something has to change. And then treat your body with compassion and tenderness. And I think also that mixing different modalities, right? So you want to do what we call cardiovascular exercises to work that heart, but also include strength exercises, endurance, flexibility, and balance. And when you mix it all up, that's a good way to prevent injuries.
So is it possible that some people with back injuries or back issues might not be as flexible and able to twist throughout some of the more challenging poses in yoga? And how would they know that in advance?
Yes. So there are positions, right, or poses that can be contraindicated, right, or not the best position or pose for you to practice if you have a back condition. The best way to know it in advance for me is always talk to your instructor before entering a class. Let them know what back injury you have. And then also your physician, right? Your physician can guide you and let you know what type of exercises are okay and what type of exercises are not okay. Or they might recommend that first you work with a physical therapist if the injury that you have is pretty severe.
All right. Now, many of our listeners might be of an age that they would remember way back into maybe the late 60s, early 70s, and transcendental meditation was very popular then, using mantras. Some yoga practices use mantras. What is a mantra, and do you use that in your classes, or why do some people choose to?
Yeah, so let's start with what's a mantra. So a mantra can be a word or a phrase that you're going to use repeatedly to help our mind focus or to help your mind focus. One of the reasons that I think that people like to use it is because it can create an intention, or it helps people, decide what their intention is going to be for a day or for their yoga class. It can also create stillness in your mind and therefore create space for you to be able to be more creative and focused throughout the day. Personally, when it comes to my class and using a mantra, I let my students set their own intentions, and I invite them to choose, right, what is that mantra or that word or that phrase that they want to focus on during a part of the relaxation and meditation. Different people come with different needs to our classes. And I think that it's very important to give them that capacity to choose what they need that day.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the introductory poses for a person that's just beginning yoga. And for fun, if you're able, I'd love to hear a pose that's named after a mammal or a fish or a reptile.
Great. So one of my favorite poses is cat and cow. And why do I like this pose? Well, you can do it either in your hands and feet, or you can do it sitting. And I think it's a great way to wake up in the morning, and it prepares your back right for the rest of the day. One of my other ones that I really love is legs up the wall. It's a great way to finish your day, especially if your work requires prolonged standing time, right? Or you do not move a lot your legs, right? They stay, even if you're sitting, they stay in that same position. So it's a great way, right, to get that blood flow to your legs. You can keep your legs slightly bent, so your knees slightly bent. And then you can place your hands either on your belly and your chest and concentrate on your breath. And it's a good way to just be connected with your breath and connect your mind and your breath. And lastly, I love puppy. So puppy is not a full downward dog, but you're still able to stretch that spine. Many of us have lives now that, promote the curvature of our spine, right? We are sitting down many hours, whether it be driving or in front of our computers, watching TV. So we really need to give that stretch to our backs and be able to open up, especially in the area of the chest and in the neck. And puppy allows for that.
I've never heard of puppy, and I'm glad it's out there. I'll have to check that out on YouTube.
Yes, it's a great posture.
Very good. So what is your takeaway message for our listeners today that are really intrigued by our discussion and maybe want to start taking some yoga classes?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is yoga can be practiced by any person, with good guidance and modifications. So you want to first talk with your doctor, see what they say about it, right? And see if they, you know, understand that you are in a good condition to try a class. Or if they have, or if you have any specific medical condition, for example, like high blood pressure, and perhaps you want to avoid hot yoga. And then also speak with your instructor. I really recommend that you first, if you can in advance, search, you know, the instructor that you're going to work with or the studio that you're going to go to. Make sure that they have the qualifications. Let them know of any injuries or medical conditions that you might have. And then try exploring it for a little bit. Try different types of classes, maybe longer classes, shorter classes. Let them know that you're a beginner and see what fits best for your body.
Can people sign up for one class or two classes only at a time? There might be those that are thinking of that as well, just to try it out.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there are many yoga studios that offer that one-time class. Sometimes there are yoga studios that if you're a newcomer and this is the first time that you go to the studio, they might give you a discount or you might even be able to get the first class for free.
That sounds great. Where can our listeners go for more information about your classes, your medical practice, or maybe just yoga in general?
So to have more information about me or to connect with me, LinkedIn would be the best way. You can send me a message there, and then I can answer any other questions that they might have. In terms of yoga in general, right, so Yoga Journal is really an excellent source of information. And then Gayam also, you know, they can also buy from Gayam some of, like, the prompts, and they have videos. So I think that those are the best two resources that I would recommend.
Do you want to spell Gayam for our listeners, please?
Absolutely. So it would be G-I-A-M.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on our show today, Dr. Colon Gonzalez, and I'd just like to thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing for your patients and for holistic health in general.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for the invitation.
So we've come to our reading for the day, and it's by someone who's pretty famous, Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I quote, "Every spirit builds itself a house, and beyond its house, a world, and beyond its world, a heaven. Know then that world exists for you." It's time to wrap up our show. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist. Visit us on rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on my personalized wellness consultations. Blessings for whole person health, healing, and peace.